There's a story in the New Testament about a sick man who lived in Galilee. We don't know much about the man. We don't know how old he was or whether he was young. We don't know what his occupation was. We don't even know if he had a family or if he did not. We don't know whether he was rich or poor. We don't know whether he was a prominent man at one time or whether he had grown up in the slums. We know very little about him except that he had a terminal illness. We do know a little bit about his illness. We know the disease would start as a small, scabby sore on the skin, and after some time it would turn white and it would grow, and the hair in that patch of skin would turn white. The disease would also affect the nerve endings of the body so that the affected person could no longer feel pain, causing the person to often injure himself unintentionally. It's this kind of man that we read about in Mark chapter 1 that came to Jesus and implored that Jesus would heal him. We know that this man would have had a bad smell from the open sores and the unhealed wounds, his clothing ragged and dirty. He would have been an unpleasant sight. His voice would have been raspy and rattly as the disease affected his throat and vocal cords. Equally as bad as the physical condition, this man was also a social outcast. He was considered a walking dead man. Once he was diagnosed with the disease, society considered him as good as dead. His will would be executed and his property sold. He was required to live away from anyone, from everyone, and if anyone came close, he was required to call out, "Unclean, unclean." It's this kind of man that knelt before Jesus and asked in his raspy, rattly voice, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The request from the leper is not so astounding as is the response of Jesus. Mark records that Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him and said, "I am willing." Mark goes on to record that at that point, the man was clean and was healed. Well, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. So glad to be here with you. Glad to have you here. I'm excited to be sharing with you again about Jesus. And I welcome all of our visitors. This morning, I recognize that I am speaking primarily to believers in Jesus. But sometimes in the process of life, we become sick and full of disease in our soul. And so this morning, if you are someone who has become weary and discouraged in your walk, you need to be touched by Jesus. If you feel as if you've lost that first love, that first passion for Jesus, then you need to be touched by Jesus. And if you have not yet made that commitment, if you are someone who has not yet known Jesus, you also need to be touched by Jesus. It's a little easy for us to miss the social stigma that came with leprosy. We know about the disease, the physical aspects of it, but most modern scholars believe that the social stigma that was attached with having leprosy was as bad or worse as having the disease. And there is some indication in the Old Testament that that would be the case. There are several stories in the Old Testament about those who disobeyed God contacting the disease as a punishment from God. Consider the story of Miriam and Aaron when they complained against Moses, and the cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, came down, and when it left, Miriam was white with leprosy. And she had to spend 7 days outside of camp in a tent, which was the instructions that God had given to the Israelites in Leviticus. Also, remember the story of Elisha's servant. When Captain Naaman came from Syria to be healed, remember, Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. He sent his servant and told him to go dip himself 7 times in the river. And we know that story. After he did, finally, Naaman goes back and he wants to give Elisha gifts. And Elisha refuses the gifts. Remember what happened after that? Elisha's servant runs after Naaman and says, "I'll take the gifts. If he's not smart enough to get them, I'll take them." You know what happened to him? Elisha cursed him and said that he will be sick with the affliction of Naaman. And that man was sick from leprosy. There's also the story of King Uzziah, who was a well-liked king, and he decided one day that he could go into the temple, into the priest's court, and administer the sacrifice the same way the priest could. When he was confronted by that, by the priest, he became angry, and he became sick with leprosy. And so if we think about this a little bit, it's easy for us to understand how that in the New Testament era, that someone, whether they had sinned or not, but if someone had leprosy, there would be this question: what sin did that person commit that gave them the disease? Now, I'd like to this morning to bring this a little closer home. Leprosy is somewhat of an ancient disease. We see very little of it in our Western culture, but we do have cancer with us. And this morning, how many of you know somebody that has had cancer? All of us. How many of you have had an immediate family member that has had cancer? Quite a few of you. And I know we have some cancer survivors here. How many of those do we have? Thank you for sharing. Can we imagine for a moment this morning, not only does our loved one get a disease that is terminal or fatal, but socially and according to the law, he is an outcast. That person is as good as dead. So, suppose that, Barbara, can I pick on you? Barbara had cancer 10, 11 years ago. And at that point, rather than the healing that we've experienced, all we would know is that she is banished. And I want us to imagine for a moment the pain, the rejection, the rejection that goes with that, not only for Barbara, but for the family. If that would be the only way that we would have to deal with this disease. And so it's that kind of person, that rejected person, that everybody sees as dead, that comes to Jesus and asks to be healed. Jesus, according to the law, should have not been anywhere close. And yet he chose, in his compassion, to reach out and touch and to heal. And so this morning, I'm not a physician, I'm not a doctor, I'm not so interested in your physical well-being as I am about your spiritual well-being. You see, we are created as a spiritual being. We have a body and a soul and a spirit, and it is possible that we become sick as well. Jesus himself tells us that we should not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I would like to give you some illustrations that will help us put some picture to how we are created and how we can also become sick in our soul. So we are created as a body and a soul and a spirit. And our soul is divided into our mind, will, and emotions. Now our body is equipped with a brain, and it's through that brain that we take in the five senses. That information, the five senses, is transferred to the soul, to the mind and the emotions, and then the will decides what to do with it. The carnal man, this is all that you see. There is no connection anywhere else. We only know how to process the information on our own. But the spirit at this point is alive, but since it is disconnected from the Holy Spirit, the person is eternally damned or is dead spiritually. So the believer then is connected to the Holy Spirit. And through our spirits connecting with the Holy Spirit, we get a new source of information, if you will, on how to act. Or that information is from our spirit, is processed through our soul and acted out through our body. Primarily this morning, what I want us to see here with the illustration is that it's at the level of the soul that we often become sick and don't even realize it. It's at this level right here. And because of the disease or the sickness that is affecting us, the information here from the Holy Spirit and working out through our body is hindered. The effective working of the Holy Spirit because of sickness in our soul is hindered. So that's the disease that I am concerned about this morning. I'm going to look at five things that we can learn from the disease of leprosy. The first one is simply that leprosy was an inward disease. Even though we saw the effects on the outside of the body, the real cause of the disease was an underlying issue within the body. The sores and the other problems were symptoms of the problem. They were not the root of the problem. And sin is precisely the same way. What we see working out is a symptom of something deeper on the inside. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Jesus says that for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. And just like the leper that could have had the disease long before the symptoms begin to show, in the same way many of us, we can live normal, what look like normal lives, while this sin is festering inside on our soul. The second thing is, leprosy was a loathsome disease. It could be felt. It was uncomfortable with the numbness and the unhealing. Many of the wounds that the leper had were the result of the numbness that the disease produced. The leper would hurt himself and it wouldn't heal. Likewise, sin stupefies us, and then when our conscience is numb, it begins to wound us. Sin always, unless it is dealt with, will continue to bind us tighter and tighter and tighter. And there will be, your spirit might still be connected with the Holy Spirit. You're a believer. But the effective outworking of Jesus Christ in your life is snuffed out because of the disease on your soul. Leprosy had a terrible odor. The aroma would often drive people away. The infected person couldn't escape it, and sometimes even would get used to it. However, lepers didn't like the smell of each other. In much the same way, two sinners don't like each other either. The sin of the other is repulsive to the sinner. It could also be heard. It would attack the vocal cords with the raspy voice. In the same way, sin finds its easiest escape through the tongue, which is why James warned us about the power of the tongue. In many of these ways, leprosy was very messy. It could not be kept hidden, and sin will not be kept hidden either. Leprosy was also a separating disease. It put you outside of camp. You were quarantined. In the same way, sin will separate you from God's people. It puts us at an enmity with God, severing our relationship with Him, and leads to our destruction. And fourth, the leprous person could not cure themselves. In biblical times, there was no remedy for leprosy. There were no exercise programs, no diets that could touch the depths of the disease. This lack of a cure, however, did not mean that people were not cleansed of the disease. Especially in Bible times, we read of a number of different lepers that Jesus healed, which leads us to the fifth answer. Jesus could heal the leper. It's astounding that, as Mark records in chapter 1, that Jesus touched the leper, because the point of contact would often mean that the other person would receive the disease. However, Jesus, I'm sure, intentionally touched the leper in order to show his compassion. Mark is the only one that does say that he was moved with compassion. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus is still our cure today. I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture. You can turn there if you want. I do have it on the PowerPoint, Ephesians chapter 2, the last verses 11 to 22. As believers, we have an answer provided for us. Verse 11 says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, or you were outside of camp, you were the leper, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Remember the word reconcile. The cleansing for the sinner is just as complete as the cleansing was for the man with leprosy. When you allow Jesus, when you come to Jesus and ask him to cleanse your soul, to heal the sickness of your soul, he can clean it just as clean as the man with leprosy. And then he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So when Jesus cleanses you, when you are reconciled to him, you are no longer outside of camp. You are no longer a stranger and a foreigner, but you are reconciled and you're a fellow citizen with the saints and the members of the household of God. This morning, I can't see your soul. I don't know where you are at. But if you are that person that, like the leper, that needs to be cleansed, I would like to give you that opportunity. Let's bow. I don't know what kind of leprosy. I can't see your soul. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's a relationship that has never been fully reconciled. Maybe there's hatred on your soul. Maybe there's envy on your soul. Maybe there's lust. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's rejection. I'd like to invite you, if you want to be cleansed, if you want Jesus to touch you, to come forward and to give whatever is on your soul, to ask Jesus to cleanse that. Father, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, for the healing of Jesus Christ. God, I pray just right now that you would cleanse each one here. I pray that we would seek out your Spirit and let your Spirit work in our hearts and work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we could live our lives, that we would no longer be strangers and foreigners, but that we would be your children. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in our lives. I pray that you would bless each one here. And as we leave this place, that those that we meet would know that we've been with Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.